And this is our number
two. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. A couple of things in your newscasts have piqued my interest. So Sawant wants a ban on landlords being able to evict people for any reason?
Yes.
During cold weather months?
Yes.
And she cites France as a country where you're not allowed to do that.
It's one of several countries that have similar bans on evictions during when the temperatures dip below zero.
I wonder if she knows that France has one of the highest unemployment rates in the Western world. 8.4% unemployment in France, 2.5 times the unemployment rate. And the only reason it's only 8.4% is because something like 25% of workers in France are non-productive. They work for the government. And I don't mean that as an epithet against government workers, but you don't produce anything when you work for the government. In the private sector, you take raw materials and you add value with your labor and you can sell it for a higher price. In government, you do not create anything of value, which is obviously going to be a drag. The bigger the government, the bigger a drag it is on a nation's economy. And France is a mess. I mean, France is an absolute mess. There's been rioting at the Arc de Triomphe. And I mean, you've heard about all of the problems they have. So it's awfully funny to hear Kshama Sawant say that we need to be more like France. But I'm going to bump up a story that I was going to do later in the Fast 15. The unemployment rate in the United States just announced this morning is down to 3.5%. Remember, anything below 4.5% is considered full employment. It was thought to be impossible when it was 3.6% a month ago to get lower than that. And it's 3.5%. Job growth just blew out all of the projections. Payrolls have surged by $266,000. So when I hear the Sawants of the world, the Liz Warrens, all of these radicals who want to blow up our economy, and they are actually trying to argue, and this might be the biggest stupidity of the people who are running for president, is that they're trying to make some economic arguments in the midst of one of the greatest economies in our history, record low, 50-year low unemployment as of today, job growth, non-farm payrolls, 266,000. The experts predicted it'd be 187,000. We added 80,000 more jobs than they were expecting. Hourly wages have gone up more than 3% from a year ago. That's more than the economists projected. And so this is a great economy. And that's why, you know, I'm not going to mess with it when we vote next November, unless something, you know, dramatic happens between now and then. As long as we stay safe and as long as we have a great economy, that's all I ask from our federal government. Sawant wants us to be more like France. And then you did a story at 12:30 News that I didn't have a chance to talk to you about. A guy had his Gucci belt stolen this morning. That was down in.
Well, he was stabbed over the Gucci belt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 23-year-old, 3 in the morning on Pacific Highway, and
okay.
Two guys came up. One tried to take the Gucci belt. Those suckers are very expensive.
Well, yeah, I just looked that up. Here's Ryan Abbott, who says the suspects attacked the victim, demanding his Gucci belt.
He was approached by 4 black males, and they demanded his belt that he was wearing. When he refused to give them his belt, one of the males stabbed him twice.
And then the victim had to run to a gas station across the street to call 911.
The victim fled across the street to a gas station. At first, he called his uncle and then called 911.
Okay, so as you were just starting to say, Ursula, I just went to see how much a Gucci belt, because I've never spent more than, I'm a guy who thinks belts are a completely useless addition.
If you have one, you'll just have one.
Yeah, I get the reversible brown and black. It's all I need. I can get it at Ross Dress for Less.
You can actually get them at Rite Aid.
Sure. I just don't need to spend a lot of money on belts. So I was just looking up the Gucci belt. Leather belt with the double G. What's the second G in Gucci, I wonder? Double G. Anyway, that retails for $450. But this is a nice touch. They do offer free shipping. If you want a Gucci men's Cuoio Toscano belt, that'll set you back $650.
You have to pronounce it correctly first, though.
Well, no, you don't. Now, if you got $650 extra dollars, they don't care how you pronounce it.
Dory, have you heard of the baby brand of Gucci? It's called Gucci Gucci Goo. New on the market.
I was on a roll here. I was about
to make some
devastating points.
Sorry.
What's the matter with you? The Gucci embellished belt. I just got it. Gucci, Gucci, go. That'll be $720. So anyway, let me get back to my point now. So the victim, he was going to go out, and believe me, I don't ever believe in blaming the victim.
But?
So a 23-year-old guy who owns a belt that's worth probably $500 to $700, he decides before he walks onto Pacific Highway South in Des Moines. At what time did this happen?
3 a.m.
3 a.m. Okay. I don't want to blame the victim, but it's 2:45 in the morning. For some reason, this guy has to walk onto Pacific Highway South, which is not exactly the Gucciest of neighborhoods. And he says, oh, before I leave the house, let me put on my double G Gucci belt. Now, I'm not saying he asked
for it. Well, and how did these four guys know that he had a Gucci belt?
Well, if you're showing, the only reason, if you...
In the dark. I mean, it's in the middle of the night.
Oh, they have these things now called street lights. And if you have a Gucci belt, I mean, me, I try to wear a shirt over my belt.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But if you have a Gucci belt,
no,
you tuck your shirt in to show off that double G belt buckle. And again, I'm not saying the victim asked for it. I'm just saying perhaps the next time you go out onto Pacific Highway South at 3 a.m., maybe take a tip from Uncle Dor and get your belt at Ross, and then nobody's going to stab you for it. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, this is backwards.
I'm just giving life advice. I want the stabbers to be arrested.
Correct.
I want them to recover this guy's Gucci belt for him. But all I'm saying is we can control what we can control, and we probably shouldn't be wearing our Gucci belts on Pacific Highway South at 3 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, just for laughs, when we were in L.A., we went to Rodeo Drive, and my son wanted to check out the Gucci store, and he was looking at the belts. I will tell you, there were two, like, uniformed guards standing next to him.
Sure.
That's how expensive those were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, just be careful. Be discreet when you wear your Gucci belt. That's my tip to everybody on this Friday afternoon. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15 here. Tim Iman is lashing out now that $30 car tabs has lost the first couple of rounds in court. And Graham Johnson at our news partners, Cairo 7, talked with Iman.
Now that the state Supreme Court has upheld the lower court's temporary hold on 976, Iman is lashing out again. Today, he filed a motion to add outside attorneys to the defense team.
We've just had blatant sabotage of the case from the beginning.
Has your defense been half-hearted?
Absolutely not. We have had a team of some of the best attorneys in the state working to defend Initiative 976 since it passed.
Okay, I will say, I just absolutely do not believe that the Attorney General's office is as zealous as possible in defending $30 car tabs, because Bob Ferguson is the most dangerous politician that I've ever seen, and he is the most partisan politician. And $30 car tabs is for the people in the middle part, the eastern part of the state. Believe it or not, It's for the people of Pierce and Snohomish County who have been getting ripped off to the tune of hundreds of dollars a year. And Bob Ferguson is a left-wing political hack disguised as attorney general. And there's absolutely no way that his office is being as zealous as possible in defending $30 car tabs, as is their legal requirement. I mean, this is a guy who personally despises Tim Iman and is, you know, trying to sue and destroy Iman's life. So I would tend to believe Iman's characterization much more than the attorney general's office on $30 tabs. Next up in the fastest 15, just as briefly as you can, Ursula, refresh everybody's memory on the phone scam that your grandma dealt with.
No, it was my mom.
Your mom.
It was my mom. So
just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, someone called purporting to be from City Light, said that she was overdue in paying the bill, and they would cut off the power if she didn't pay immediately. And they wanted her to do it through gift cards.
Yeah.
Which sounds so ridiculous. Well, and my mom's a smart woman.
Right.
But
a Rite Aid
just when
clerk.
when you're in a panic, and I told you my dad's been, you know, having some serious health issues,
yep,
and it is not there. My dad usually deals with it, so my mom was thinking that's totally plausible. We might not have paid the bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a Rite Aid clerk saved her.
Yes.
So there's no way.
Yes.
Well, Amy Clancy at our news partners Cairo 7 talked with a guy, not an elderly guy, but a guy who has been victimized out of his life savings for a similar gift card scam.
How much total did you lose?
It was $9,500.
This King County man doesn't want to be identified, but does want to warn others before they too lose thousands of dollars in a gift card scam perpetrated by whomever left this voicemail message on his cell phone.
There is a legal enforcement action filed on your social security number for fraudulent activities.
By the way, I got that exact same voicemail about 3 weeks ago.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, they just flood us.
Oh, yeah.
And had been a victim of identity theft in the past, so thought the offer of a new social security number was legit, even if the method was suspicious. He was told to drain his bank account and use the cash to buy $500 Nordstrom and Nike gift cards at multiple stores in Kenmore, Bothell, and Kirkland before the federal government froze his account. The money would be held for him, and he'd get it back with his new Social Security number the next day.
And you hear this, and you think, how dumb can somebody be to go buy gift card? I mean, this isn't an elderly guy, but they instructed him, too, to say, oh, yeah, I'm buying this as a Christmas gift. So, you know, if your grandma had said that to the Rite Aid clerk, maybe the Rite Aid clerk, your mom. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I know it's your mom.
It's okay. It is my mom, yeah.
But if she had said that, maybe the Rite Aid clerk would have said, oh, okay.
Yeah, but I was told now, I went back to that Rite Aid and I thanked the person who did it. I was told they are trained now. They are trained to inform customers because it's happening all the time.
Yeah.
People like, when you start buying, you know, all these... I mean, that guy bought a lot of gift cards.
Well, $9,500, and that was his whole life savings.
They're leaving a voicemail, letting somebody believe that their Social Security number has been compromised, and if they don't call them back, that they could be arrested.
Tell me about what that money means to your family.
Well, but it was all for us. It was all our savings.
It's all he had. So anyway, wanted to make sure we got the word out.
Well, the other one that's going around, and I think Nicole Jennings from our show told you, Dory, that her grandma just got yesterday, was the one that they tried on my dad, and my dad figured it out. But that's the one where they say that someone's in jail, someone you love is in jail, and needs to have help getting bailed out. That's a scam, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I keep saying grandma because it's hard for me to believe that somebody as young as you could have an elderly parent. That's my excuse.
I love you.
Okay. Next up, Joe Biden in Iowa. And I can't imagine. You know, he was vice president of the United States. Now he's sitting in some dingy, tiny meeting room somewhere in Iowa. And a guy confronted him on getting his job. You know, millions of dollars in salary from a Ukrainian oil company.
Sent your son over there to get a job and work for a gas company that he had no experience with gas or nothing in order to get access for the president. So you're selling access to the president just like he was.
So you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has done that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not senator. I don't like it up and no, let him go.
Okay, then it gets weird because the guy who's challenging him is an older guy, kind of heavy set. And Biden says, I'm not sedentary. And then bizarrely, Biden starts challenging the guy to do push-ups or run or an IQ test.
The reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on, let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take an IQ test. Number two.
He has losed it. Let's have do push-ups or an IQ test. Although he's done that before.
Because people keep hammering the point that he's old. Oh, my gosh, he's becoming senile or he, you know, so whatever. So I think he's trying to show and maybe not in the best way.
Well, and then he calls the guy fat.
Oy.
Okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
Well, I don't want to either.
Well, yeah, you do. But look, here's the deal.
Look, fat. He started to say fatso. Cut it off halfway through.
Really?
Look fat.
No way.
And now, you know what his campaign's saying today?
What?
No, he said, look, facts. And there's no way.
No one's going to say. To say, look, fatso, that doesn't.
Look fat.
For all the gaffes that he's made, that doesn't sound like him.
Listen.
Look fat. Look, here's the deal.
Look fat to a fat man.
Okay.
He's talking to a fat man, and he calls him fat. And by the way, this is a guy who's really upset with Donald Trump, who said that Kim Jong-un was fat.
I just think in the context of just sort of common decency. I mean, it's not the way, you know, when your children hear a president referring to anybody that way. I mean, our children are listening.
So he's upset that Trump called a murderous dictator fat. But a heavy set guy in Iowa who challenges him on his son.
Look, fat. Look, here's the deal.
That's Jory. You're...
What's he saying then?
Okay, I think he started saying something and then he changed his mind, but it wasn't going to be fat. So,
what else?
Please.
What else?
Maybe facts. Fact is. Oh no, fact is. Blah blah.
Look, fat. Look, here's the deal.
Look, fat. Look. He's not saying facts. Maybe he thought
that just sounds so.
Maybe he thought that this guy went to Our Lady of Fatima, and that was too long to say, so he just abbreviated it.
Look, fat. Look, here's the deal.
But like I said, he's got zero chance, and that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast stories. Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. You want a fun local holiday feel-good story?
Always.
Okay. Woman from Gig Harbor, she thought, wouldn't it be fun to be one of the people who gets to decorate the White House? Out of 8,000 applicants, she gets chosen.
And
she's
cool.
Still back on the East Coast, and she's going to join us coming up.
Oh, that's awesome.
On the Dory Monson Show.
Walking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Well, we got a message on Facebook from a woman named Carol who describes herself as a very faithful fan of the show. And she wanted to let us know that a local woman was selected from 8,000 applicants to help decorate the White House for Christmas. And I've seen the pictures and they're spectacular. And it means that Seattle and Washington have a huge presence in the White House Christmas decorations this year. And the woman who was selected is Gaylene McRae, who joins us from the East Coast. Gaylene, it's great to talk with you this afternoon.
It's great to be here.
Okay, so how in the world do you get selected to decorate the White House?
Well, it's simple and then it's not. You just have to you apply, and that's an online process that I didn't know. I just decided like 8 years ago that I wanted to do this when I saw an HGTV special. But this year was the first year I put any legs to that hope. And I called the White House, and they gave me an email, and I used that email. And then they sent me a link when it was time to apply, and that's in August. And you have to apply online, and then you submit it. And I was very blessed. I got selected.
That's very cool. Now, is this something you do professionally?
Well, I used to own my own balloon and gift and decorating business. And it's something I love and have done professionally, yes.
Okay, but so how do you stand out from 8,000 other applicants?
Well, I've ran that through my head many, many times because they give priority to military, which they should, and we aren't. And so when I filled out the application, this is a kind of a quirky thing. If you had professional experience, you needed to put your website in, but mine wasn't current. You know, that was a few years ago. So it wouldn't send without it. So we own a small boat touring business in Gig Harbor. So I put the website for our boat business in there,
okay.
And then I sent an email to explain what I had done and a picture of our boat decorated for a wedding. And then I got a quick response back, very cute, we'll attach this to your application. Well, I had sent other pictures in of my home decorated, and I said, do you have those pictures? They said, no, please resend. So had I not done that, my application would have went through probably without the pictures. Yeah.
Got it. All right. Because, you see, this is something, I have a few talents in life, but anything artistic is not on that list. And my wife is not the most artistic person. So we struggle with things like home design. So I admire people who can do stuff like this. Okay, so you get selected, you fly back. What's it like walking into the White House?
Wow. You walk in as a worker first.
Yeah.
And when you go through the security, and the first day we're in a warehouse, a huge warehouse that houses all their Christmas decorations, a lot of their furniture. It's like twice the size of Home Depot. And for me, that was an incredible experience just to see the backside of it. And we worked on the projects there. And then the next day when we went into the White House, it was very kind of different because the White House was a mess, so to speak, in the part we were in, because they had 51 live trees they were bringing in. And most of them were 14 foot tall, and the Park Service is in charge of that. So they're setting up all these trees. There's pine needles everywhere. The floor is all covered in this beautiful paper that's very thick and waterproof. So it's kind of like Christmas when you're decorating at its worst that first day, you know, and you get in there and there's just trees and people and all those trees, 51 live trees have to be lit.
Wow. Okay. And to tell us about the Northwest being incorporated, and we'll get the pictures up on our website, but I saw there's a big glass door entrance to one of the wings of the White House that has etching of the Space Needle on it?
Yeah, that's when you come in the East Wing. So when we came in, they had a party for us on Monday. It was a volunteer reception party. And when you come through Secret Service and come into the building in the East Wing, they laid brand new red carpet. And down there were these glass panels. And on the glass panels, I guess they were just all the different icons from each state. But the one, of course, that caught my eye was the Space Needle. And above it hung white snowflakes, and as you go down that hall with the brand new red carpet, and it's quite long, then there's your tree there that's for the Gold Star, for people who have lost somebody in the military. So you just look down there, and it's amazing. But to see our Space Needle was incredible.
And so I saw that. Were you part of this gingerbread house design?
No, I wasn't part of the design at all. But that was in the stateroom. I worked on the little flowers, the huge thing that went over the mantle in the stateroom with President Lincoln's picture above it.
Okay, I'll get back to that.
300 roses.
Okay, I'll get back to that in a second. But they have a gingerbread. It's the White House with a Space Needle next to it, with the Golden Gate Bridge next to that. That was very cool to see also.
Every year, their head pastry chef does a gingerbread house. And I got to meet the lady, the pastry chef that did all the little wreaths on the windows. She's been there for 21 years.
Okay, and then the thing you were a part of, it's red flowers encircling a mantle and going up a little bit around the bottom of the frame. of this iconic painting of Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
now,
well,
that was Melania's design, and we actually worked the beginning of that in the warehouse, and we had to put 300 roses on there. They were all silk roses, and they all had to be cut, and then we had the silk fillers that went in it, and those aren't just pushed in it. Every one of those were hot glued. So when we got the 300 roses hot glued, they were three different sizes. Nick, who was the head designer, came over and he said, that's not what she's going to want, because she wanted it to look solid roses. So they had to order 500 more. So that piece you see has 800 roses on it.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So are you there for the installation of it at all?
I did not get to see the installation of that.
Okay.
There were two crews. The first crew worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thanksgiving, everybody broke. Then the second crew was Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, you said you've been trying to do this for 8 years. So that,
no, it's been in my mind 8 years.
Okay,
first year I applied.
You've been thinking about it for a long time. So how cool to achieve a lifetime dream like this. That's pretty amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And,
yes.
Do you know, the president, I don't know if you've heard this, the president is a somewhat controversial figure. Do you get any grief from people who say, oh, why are you going back to his White House?
Well, yes.
But what's your reaction?
We had a very close family friend that disowned us over it, yes.
No.
And, oh, seriously.
No, Gaylene, wait a second. Because you were going back to help decorate the White House, you lost a lifetime friend?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, tell me a little more about that. I mean, I got to hear about that.
Well, we were scheduled to be with, it's a younger guy, he's a child of a good family friend of ours, and he didn't take it well that we were not going to be able to go back. We were going to the White House. So he's very, anti-Trump, and so be it, that's his views, but he's the only one. I mean, we've been here, we've been in Washington, D.C., and like I said, over in New York, and a lot of people ask, what are you doing here? And sometimes you just get they're quiet. They didn't really approve. But most of the time it's like, wow, how'd you do that? That's incredible.
But isn't that silly because you told me this is the trip of a lifetime, and you would think that a lifetime friend, that all they would care about is being happy for you instead of, the silliness, divisiveness that's going on now.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry.
I think that's the one thing I walked away from the White House with. There was a, and you probably might have heard about it, but the White House went into lockdown the day that we were there. And I can't share anything about where we were at, but we were actually down with the pastry team. And I got to meet the girl down there, and we asked, does this happen often? And no. And she reiterated what happened on 9/11. And you could still see the fear in their eyes as she explained they had to go to Lafayette Park and stand out in the park and watch the Pentagon burn.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, we got to stop all the hate.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you got to experience something so wonderful. It sounds like a really cool experience.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll post the pictures on our website so people can look at some of your handiwork. And Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for talking with me, Gaylene.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Gaylene McCrae from Gig Harbor, who is part of the team that decorated the White House for Christmas. We'll put the pictures up on our website, Dory Monson Show, at mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Christmas tree. Hillary Clinton is in trouble with the LGBTQ community. As we played for you on yesterday's show, Hillary Clinton was on Howard Stern, and she volunteered to Howard Stern that she is not a lesbian.
He was really handsome.
Really?
Really handsome. Yeah, he looked like a Greek god. He was really handsome.
No kidding. Mm. Greek god.
Yeah, he was very attractive.
Lou, I don't know. I'd listen to you.
Well, contrary to what you may hear, I actually like men.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing.
That's the other thing.
Women
right?
friends.
Yeah. Raise your right hand. Yeah. You've never had a lesbian affair.
Never even been tempted. Thank
Unbelievable.
You very much.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you do have strong relationships with women, friendships.
I do.
And
I
then,
do.
You know, and guys can pal around all they want.
But she laughed and said, never even been tempted. Well, that has now apparently ticked off the LGBTQ community that she would laugh at the prospect of girl-on-girl, woman-on-woman sex is even a possibility. Queer journalist Trish Bendix says Hillary's flippant response seems to denigrate the notion of same-sex attraction. Bendix is a member of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association, and she told NBC News that she was disappointed by Hillary's answer to the rumors. She said, "It's so frustrating when public figures like Hillary feel the need to dispel lesbian rumors in a way that equates lesbianism or queerness with salaciousness," she said. Bendix clarified it was Hillary's use of the word tempted. She's never been tempted. That really annoyed her, adding that it's unnecessarily damaging to others. "I think there's a way to refute untrue ideas about one's own identity without saying something damaging to others." It's very true. For example, if I just declare right here now, I'm not gay, that doesn't denigrate anybody who is. It's just a statement of me. I'm going to check the news for you, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next.